All right, take your Bibles and enter Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 tonight. And tonight we are going to be looking at praising the Lord. I think it's important for us to praise God, and God wants us to do that. It's a command of Scripture. But we're going to look at three different circumstances in which we can praise the Lord. In Hebrews 13, this is the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. And in this section is right near the end. There's only 25 verses in chapter 13. The 15th verse gives us a picture of what every Christian should be doing. Praise is necessary. Praise must be consistent. And praise is not just a one-time thing that we do. You know, we give praise here at church, and that's a wonderful thing. We need to be doing that in the house of God, because if we're saved, we have much to praise God about, amen? And when we see God working in our lives, we have much to praise God about. And tonight, we're going to be looking at portraits of praise. So we know we have a portrait on the wall, maybe in our home, of a scene or a portrait of somebody. Tonight, we're going to look at three people, and we're going to look at their portrait of how they praise God in the situations in their life. If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 15. Hebrews 13, verse number 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Also, verse number 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Let's pray together. Dear Father, I thank You, dear Lord, for the wonderful God that You are. How You provide for us, how You take care of us, Lord. How You work in our lives in spite of our errors and our sins, dear Lord. You are willing to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dear Lord, we have much to praise You for tonight. I pray that tonight we'd be encouraged to praise You all the more. For Lord, that is the key to having a joyful spirit, is praising You and thanking You and recognizing what You do in our lives. I pray that You will bless this time. I pray that You give me the words to say and the strength to preach tonight. I am behind the cross. They are not my words, dear Lord. They are Yours. And I pray that tonight they would be acceptable in Thy sight. I pray that You bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Portraits of praise. So these two verses are very important. Now, Hebrews deals with the priesthood of all believers in that we all have direct access to God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and we may boldly come before the throne of grace. But right here, near the end of the book, we have the sacrifice. Now, if you remember the Old Testament, the sacrifices that the priests would give to God, the blood sacrifices, the sin offerings, the peace offerings, and all of those. Now, this, we no longer have the sacrificial system. It's no longer necessary because Jesus' death on the cross, we said, it is finished. Not only was the payment for sin finished, but the sacrificial system was finished. All of it was completed and fulfilled and finished. There was so much in that. And that's a good study, by the way. What was finished when He said, it is finished? And actually, that sounds like a good sermon series right there. But we can look at that and see what all that God accomplished right there. But right here, we see that as a believer, we are still to give sacrifice to God in a different way. And what do we see here? We're to give the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Just like the Hebrews, they had to continually give sacrifice to God. Why is that? Why do we only praise? Why should we praise continually? Because our minds are so quick to forget. Amen. No, I mean, I don't know about you, but I sometimes forget things very often. Ask my wife, she tells me something and I forget it almost straight away sometimes, because there's so many things going on in our life at times. And we can become overwhelmed with what's going on and that we forget what God is doing. We don't see what God is doing as much and we forget to praise. And praise should be a daily part, a continual part of every Christian's life. And that's what we see here in verse 16. But to do good, always do right. We see that repeat all through the Bible. But to do good and to communicate, forget not.
Don't forget to communicate. You say, well, I praise God in my heart. Well, we see two things here. Verse number 15, we see the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So we see the fruit of our lips, communicate, forget not. Don't forget to let it come out your mouth. Amen? That's why we need to praise God. It needs to come out of our mouth. And some like, well, I praise God in my heart, Pastor. I'm really thankful. If you're really thankful, it should come out of your mouth, right? How would you like it if someone gave you a gift or you gave someone a gift and then they never gave you a thank you card? They never told you and you think they're unthankful. You go and ask them about it. Well, I was really thankful. I just wasn't going to say anything about it. You know, what do we think? That doesn't make any sense. But if we're really thankful to God for what he is doing and we're giving God the glory and the credit for all things that happen in our life. Amen? Not just some things. Are you with me here? All things. Not just the things that happen outside of our ability, but all things, things that God has allowed us to accomplish. Hey, we need to be giving God the praise for that. The fruit of our lips continually. Don't forget it. But why does God write this to us? Because he knows we forget. He knows that we do. And you know, we're going to look at three portraits tonight. That was all introduction. So we need to keep gazing on the Savior and praising him. The first portrait we're going to look at is praise in service. Look at Psalm 2. Psalm 2, we're going to look again tonight at King David in that he gave praise that he was able to serve the living God. And you know, we as Christians need to praise the Lord that we get to pray, we get to serve the living God. Psalm 2. In verse number 11 and 12, seems like we got a little bit of a thunderstorm coming in. Don't worry if everybody's phones start going off. Just go and just cover your head with a hymnal and pray. No, don't do that. Underneath the platform here is the safe area, so I want to let you know that. If we have enough time, we can run over to Harvey Hall. You know, it's 2 weeks in a row. Hopefully we don't run into that. Last week was exciting. How many were here last Sunday night? Amen. It was exciting, wasn't it? I mean, I was telling Brother Larson, man, you haven't been in Texas 3 weeks and the first tornado warning here at the church in 7 years. I mean, I don't know. He brought the cooler weather, brought the tornado too, you know. But I just want to let you know that. It's probably not going to happen, but I just want to let you know. Let's put it, that'll keep you awake, right? That'll keep you awake during the service, right? Amen. Psalm 2, verses 11 and 12. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and he perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So what is this talking about? Now David was a servant of God, and David was thankful that he was. Amen? He was thankful that he was a servant of the Most High God. He was faithful in his many ministries. We see first in 1 Samuel 17, let's look over there, that he was a shepherd and he was faithful in doing that. And he carried out the responsibility that God gave to him. Now, being a shepherd was a pretty menial thing. It was not a very important job, but it was important to him because he was doing it because that's what God wanted him to do. 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 and 35. It was a simple thing. It was something that his father had given for him to do. But there's a very important principle that we see here. 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 and 35. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Now right here, David said, moreover, verse 37, this is important, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, now of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Now this is very important. David was a shepherd. This was a secular occupation. This was something that was very common, was a very low-paying job, was the shepherds actually lived out in the field and camped out there with them. And so that is exactly what David is doing. His job, the shepherd's job, was to protect the sheep, make sure the sheep were watered, make sure the sheep found fresh grass, and that they were protected from wild animals like jackals and things like that. However, not many shepherds would go up against a lion or a bear. You know what they're going to do? Hey, just let them have one or two of the sheep. It's not worth dying over. But David took his responsibility. He took it as a responsibility from God. You know why? His father told him to do it. Obey thy father and mother. Amen? He took it that serious. And that God enabled him to defeat a lion and a bear. As to somebody we think today, well, it's not worth it dying for some sheep. He was willing to risk his life to fulfill what God wanted him to do. And it doesn't matter what you're doing for God, what you're doing in serving him, if it's a menial thing, it should be important to you because you are serving God in doing it. Young people, can I encourage you with something? David was a young man, and he was doing this, and he was faithful in it, and he did it. It didn't matter if it was not an important job in other people's eyes. It didn't matter if it was important to God, it was important to him. And that's how it should be to every Christian. Amen? I think we'd agree with that. Now, we also, not only did he have the shepherding ministry, he had the soldier ministry. We look over here at 1 Samuel 18 and verse number 7. And the woman answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. So we see that David was a soldier. He was a general. Then we see his rescue ministry and that he saved people from the Philistines before he was king. And then he had his royal ministry. All these were ministries that God called David to do at different times. But what is the definition of ministry? Simply means service. That's what ministry means. He was faithful and he praised God that he was able to serve constantly through the Psalms. You see David bringing praise to God. Look at Psalm 51 and verse number 5. Psalm 51 and verse number 5. Psalm 51 and verse number 5. Every time we have a storm like this, I'm thankful we have a roof that doesn't leak. Amen. Psalm 51 verse number 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in my sin did my mother conceive me. Hold on, I think that's the wrong one. Oh, sorry. I was in verse 50, not verse number 5. Verse 15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall shew forth thy praise. So once again, he is fulfilling the command of God to give praise. He was using the fruit of his lips, and he was not forgetting to do it. You read the Psalms over and over and over, and hundreds and thousands of times, David gives praise to God. And that's an example to us. Let me ask a question. Do we forget to give praises to the Lord? Amen. A lot of you serve in a lot of different places in ministries in the church. You serve in whether it's in physical ways or if it's in ministries teaching children or if it's in ministries for adults or whatever. You minister, you have ministries in different places. Maybe you minister during vacation in Bible school. Let me ask you something. Did you praise God and do you praise God that you're able to serve him in that way? Sometimes you're like, well, we have a responsibility and it weighs upon us. And, you know, yeah, I've got that Sunday school lesson to teach or I've got that bus route to run. You know, even on Sunday mornings, I drive. Brother Holman and I, we drive. You know, that seems to be kind of a menial thing. You know what? I was thinking about it the other day. I'm just so thankful that the pastor I interned for, he made me get my commercial driver's license. And it was a requirement. I got my commercial driver's license, and trust me, I kind of got thrown into it. I'll tell you the story. I had my commercial driver's permit for 1 week. I had driven a bus 3 times in my whole life. And he goes, hey, you know, you need to get some experience. So there was an activity that we were going down to downtown Indianapolis with the bus, down to an Indiana Pacers game. And so, I had had no experience. I'd never driven on the highway, never driven in a city with a bus. And he said, oh, I'll be right there with you. You go ahead and drive. So I drove down the highway. I mean, I'm there. I'm white knuckles. I mean, I've never driven the bus more than a couple times around the parking lot. And one time up the street. And I'm going down there. And I'm driving downtown Indianapolis. Now, how many of you been to a professional sporting event? How many have been there? And now, how many of you know the traffic is terrible, right? And then, and there's already, you know, Indianapolis streets are already kind of narrow enough as they are. And then multiply that, tons of people. And then multiply that times a person that has a permit. Multiply that person that's never really driven a bus in a city before. And so I was scared to death. And I was like, I hate this. This is terrible. And then, not only that, is the pastor's like, hey, you know, I've got to get in everybody inside and get their tickets because what he was doing, they had a preachers and sneakers thing, and so they got to play a little bit of three-and-three basketball during the halftime show. That's why we were going. And so he got invited to do that. He said, hey, I got to get checked in inside. Why don't you take the bus around the block and park it? Now, I had never parallel parked a bus before in my life. There's no one on the bus. No help. There we go. Brother Larson, I promise I'm not going to do this to you, okay? But he's like, I don't know about this. No. But I was there, and I had to go drive that bus. And I was thinking, Lord, please help a policeman not to stop me. But then what happened? As I went around the corner, I was waiting for this thing. I had a policeman say, hey, get going. I'm like, oh, no, I'm dead because I don't have my driver, the guy with the driver's license, but I only have a permit. And so I go and park the bus and everything, and I'm like shaking. I have like white knuckles and everything, and I was remembering that the other day. I said, you know what? Even though all of that, I'm thankful that I know how to drive a bus. I'm thankful that I'm able to serve God in that way. I enjoy driving the bus. I enjoy hitting the curbs and making the kids go. No, that's one of the nice things, the power of the bus driver, right, Brother Scott? If they're being ornery, you can just hit a curb, a couple curbs, right? Bounce them around a little bit. We don't do that on purpose, do we, Brother Hall? Yeah, we don't. We're not going to admit that. But anyway, so do we forget to praise the Lord in that we're able to serve? Maybe it's in a menial way. Do you praise the Lord that you get to clean the toilets in the house of God? Oh, man, I didn't hear any amens there. Amen. You know, and that we keep the house of God clean, and do we praise God that we're able to do that? Do we praise God that we're able to mow the grass? You know, in August, we're not real thankful, right? When it's about 100 degrees out there, and there's dust and blowing, and, you know, when I get back sometimes, my eyes are all swollen, and I'm sneezing and things, but guess what? We need to be thankful and praise that we're able to serve God in that way. Service to the king is not a drudgery. Remember who you're serving, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it doesn't matter what it is, we should be thankful that we're able to do it. Praise must come from a heart of praise and joy. And you will only have that heart of praise if, number one, look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Number one, we are living. So what do you mean we're living? I know we're living and breathing, but if we're saved, the only way we can have a heart of joy is if you're really saved and really know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know what? If we're saved and we're saved from sin, we're set free from the bondage of the devil, we ought to have a smile on our face. Amen? Unless you're bound to sin, you've been entangled with the things of the world again, then you're going to be miserable. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we need to be a living, breathing testimony, giving praise with our mouth, but that people can see our life and they said, praise God for what God has done in their life. That's letting your light so shine before men. But if we're living spiritually, then we can have a heart of praise. But also, not only are we are living, but second, we are giving. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. Are we giving to God? I'm not just talking just financially. Should we be giving our tithe to the Lord? Absolutely. But giving of ourselves. Sometimes we just give in the offering plate, and that's as much giving as we're willing to do. We're not willing to give of our effort or of our time. But Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38 tells this, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And you know what's going to happen? You want to have a blessed life and see the blessings of God and see God do something. If you give a lot, then God's going to give a lot of blessing back. Now, we're not tied. This is not health and wealth gospel. I said, well, if I give God $100, he'll give me back $1,000. That's not what I'm talking about here. But if you give of your time and give of your effort, and a lot of you, you give a lot of your time and a lot of your effort, God does not forget that. It has not gone unseen. It does not go unrewarded. And the blessings that you see, this past week, we got to see some blessings. We put in a lot of effort. We put in a lot of hours. Getting home at 10 o'clock at night is not a fun thing for 5 days in a row. Working in 90-degree heat is not fun. Working with kids that scream and fight and all of that is not a fun thing. But you know what? At the end, God gave 27 decisions for him. And we can praise God for that. At least we should. If we don't, we have something wrong. If we give, God will give the blessing back. I encouraged us all to pray last week, last Sunday night. A lot of you were praying, and God was victorious in spite of some things. If we're living, we're giving. But then look at John 15. Then we will be multiplying. We will be multiplying. John chapter 15 and verse number 8. John 15, verse number, we'll be multiplying. We'll see God begin to multiply. Remember, God always gives back more. He's the one that can multiply things. John 15, verse number 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. If you're a disciple of Christ, you're going to bear not some fruit, not one or two, but much fruit. Be abounding, that you may have life, may have it more abundantly. All through the Gospels, fruitfulness, abundance, healthy bearing of fruit is the Christian's way. That's what we're supposed to be doing as a Christian. And then when that happens, you're going to have some joy. Amen? And you're going to have some praise to give to God. Then we'll be living. If we're living and giving, then we'll be multiplying. And Romans 15, verse number 6, and something else that comes into this. If we're all doing this, then there will be unity of the brethren. Romans 15, verse number 6. That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. Amen? Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. And so when we're serving God, we're living for God, and we're giving to God, then God is going to bring much fruit, and then all of us all together, we're going to be glorifying God with one mouth, with the same heart, and with the same praise. So how do you have a unified church? Just serve God and be thankful that you're able to serve him and praise God for it. Amen. All these things work together to bring forth the heart of praise. All these things bring glory to God, not to ourselves. Notice what's not in here. Nothing about ourselves. Nothing about me, nothing about what I've done, nothing about what I deserve, all about what God deserves, because we deserve nothing. We do it to serve, and we should deflect all praise to God. You know, a preacher once said, you know, the best way to handle praise as a Christian, be just like a duck. Let it roll right off your back and give the praise right to God. Don't let it soak in. You know what happens to a duck? If they let the water soak into their feathers, they drown. That's how they float, because they have that oil on their feathers. That's how they float in the water. But guess what? If they let their feathers get waterlogged, then they drown. The same thing happens to a Christian. We let praise that people give to us as, oh, you did such a good job. Well, praise the Lord. You know, some people say, well, Pastor, that was a really good sermon. You know what I say? Praise the Lord, because it wasn't my message. It's God's. It's not mine. It's God's, and we need to deflect all the praise to God. If we do that, that will give us in a continual habit, praise the Lord. You know what? We ought to be giving praise to one another. You know what happens sometimes? You just give a praise of what God's doing in your life, and you talk to somebody. How many ever had this happen? Is that you share a praise of what God did, and then someone gets upset. They get irritated at you. How many ever had that happen? I've had that happen. I was sharing something with somebody one time. I remember it was in college. I was like, hey, God was doing this and that, and then they got irritated at me. Well, why are you talking about that? Why wouldn't I be? I wasn't bragging, and it was just something exciting that God was doing. And you know what? That shows there's a problem in the heart. And we got to be careful. And number two, we see praise in service. We see David. Second, we see praise in trial. We see Job. Look at Job chapter 1 and verse number 1. One of the areas, you know, we can praise in service, okay, but what about praising when the going gets tough, when a trial comes? Job chapter 1 and verse number 1. Job 1 and verse number 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now let's look over at verse number 20. So we see a picture of Job here. Verse number 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. Now if you look at those independently, you will go from verse 1 down to verse number 20. Like, whoa, what happened to Job? And we see that Job was the richest man in the east. He had flocks, he had donkeys, he had camels, he had sheep. He had servants, he had children, he had it all. But he had possessions, family, position, he was successful. But we must be careful not to mistake why Job was successful. Even the devil did not see Job's true success. Remember, the devil wanted to destroy Job, but God had put a hedge around him. But what was the key to Job's success? We go back to verse number 1. It says, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. He did that which was right. He was honest. He had integrity. He put away from anything that was evil and wrong. He did right and he loved God and he feared God. Remember, and this was a man that didn't have one shred of scripture. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. And there was no scripture. He had no Bible, but he still had a relationship with God. He said, now I'm not saying here, he said, well, Pastor, I don't need to read my Bible. That's not what I'm saying, but that makes it all the more amazing how faithful Job was, even though he didn't have the scriptures. We are without excuse because we have them. Amen. We need to have the faithfulness of Job. Job was not spiritual because of his physical success. Job had been blessed by God because of his spiritual success. Now, this is not health and wealth gospel. God promises a reward for those who faithfully serve him. You look at the parable of the talents. God promises that. There are spiritual rewards, but sometimes God does reward in a physical way. However, in one day, God allowed the devil to put his hands upon him, not to take his life, but all of his children died in one day. And this happened not only one day, but within the span of probably 20 to 30 minutes, had one messenger come and tell him that his children had died and the storm had come and blown upon a house and the house had collapsed and killed all of his children. And then raiders came and stole all of his camels and raiders came and stole all of his sheep. And so in the end, everything that Job had, his family, his possessions, everything that he had was gone. He was poor, destitute, and a mourning father. All he had left was his wife. He lost it all in one day. And you know what? I think we look at this here and we see what Job said. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all that Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And you know, you see later on, you see the devil was frustrated. Took it all away. He said, if you take it all away, God, if you allow me to do it, he'll curse you to your face. Guess what? God knew something about Job. He knew he wouldn't do that. God saw Job's heart. And even in the end, he praised God in the middle of the situation. God allowed a trial to come into Job's life. It was to prove the success of Job's spiritual life. And all that happened to Job, he still praised God. This is the mark of his true success. He did not give up or lose his faith. Was he discouraged? Yes. Did he have questions? Yes. His faith in Jehovah overcame his doubts and fears. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 16. His faith remained rock solid because he knew where all that he had came from. It came from God. He knew who gave him life, God, and he could praise God in it all. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man, though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Even though our outside man is dying, the new man on the inside is never going to die, is renewed day by day by the presence of God and the power of God. And this is how we can have faith. This is how we can praise in the face of trial. This is how we can serve God day to day. It's not because of us. It's because of what God has done in our life. Many great men have fallen because they lost their faith. Let me tell you something. They didn't lose it. They chose not to have any. They allowed the circumstances in their life to get their eyes off of Jesus, allowed them to get, and by doing that, when you take your eyes off of Jesus and you see the circumstances, and I'm not saying diminishing the circumstances anybody is going through, but if you start looking at the circumstances and you begin to listen to the lie of the devil, when those trials come, the devil's going to whisper in your ear, God doesn't really love you. God doesn't really care about you. If he really did, he wouldn't let this happen to you, when all the time it's the devil that's doing it to you the whole time. But then he whispers in your ear, God doesn't really care about you. Hey, if he really did, he would protect you from me. But he isn't protecting you. He doesn't care about you. And you know what? We need to go to the scriptures and encourage ourselves and have some faith here. Why? Because we know what? That God loves us. That he'll never leave us or forsake us. Even though the hour may look dark, we can know for sure and have faith. He made a promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we can cling to that. Those that suffered in prisons and suffered persecution in prisons and were beaten and tortured for the Lord Jesus Christ, that's all they had to cling to. That's some of them, that's all they could think about. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's all they could think about in their pain and agony. And then they retained their faith. They would not give in. Though their bodies were broken. We sang Faith of Our Fathers this morning. What a blessing that was. Even though they were physically in chains, their conscience and their heart was still free. That's the indomitable Spirit of God. And that no person can take that away from us. But we can surrender it and give it up if we want to. If you want to, if you want to surrender that and say, well, I don't have faith in God anymore, God, and we begin to doubt God and we lose our faith, do we praise God and praise the Lord for the trials in our life? Now, this is a hard thing. Do we praise God? Thank you for allowing this trial to come into my life so I can learn to trust you more. Amen. Because Job had questions, and you see the book of Job is about his journey through all of that. But in the end, he retained his integrity, and in the end, guess what? God restored it all. Restored his family back. He had more children. He restored his, not the same children, didn't bring him back to life, but gave him new children and gave and restored his possessions, and we gave him more than he had before. Why? Because he would not relinquish his trust and faith in God. Do we thank God for the trial and bring glory to him? That's a hard thing. You know, because we don't like going through trials. Job did not enjoy what he went through. It's not for our enjoyment. You know, we have this mistaken idea that everything in life is for our enjoyment. That's what our culture teaches us. Guess what? Not everything is. God is not our Lord and Heavenly Father to provide everything for our enjoyment. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Do we thank God for the trial and bring glory to him? It's a hard thing. It's a good question to ask ourselves. Maybe some of you are going to have the trial of hail damage on your vehicle tonight. I don't know, but we'll see. But right here, portrait number three, that of Peter. So we've looked at David and Job. Now we're going to look at Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. We're right there. 1 Peter chapter 4. Now look at verse number 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Now this is a sermon of itself. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Thankful, giving glory to God. Now, this differs slightly from trials. Many suffered for the cause of Christ. We see Elijah did, Stephen did, Paul, and many others. They were persecuted. These men gave their lives. Elijah was caught up, but Elijah was persecuted by Jezebel. They gave them up willingly. They gave them up with praise to the Savior on their lips. Peter wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit during a time of great persecution in Jerusalem that caused many to disperse into the surrounding regions. Peter explained the end result of persecution and suffering. 1 Peter 5:10 says this, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that we have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be what? Glory and dominion forever. Amen." And you know what? In this life, we suffer a while. We can suffer persecution. We can suffer trial. But in the end, we have a home in heaven, amen, that we will be perfect. There will be no pain, no death, no suffering for all of eternity. So we can suffer for God a little while here on this earth. We can serve Him and give glory, and that's our blessed hope that we look forward to. Suffering makes our faith stronger if we let it. What will be our reaction when God calls on us to suffer for His name's sake? Even though we have done everything right, how will we respond to the unjust treatment we will receive at the sinful hands of others? Will we renounce the Savior, as some have? Some may say, I will never be persecuted. That is never going to happen. I'm telling you what, the day is coming, even in America, when it might happen. It might be not mine, but it might be the next one. You know, if you look at the laws these people are trying to pass about religion and about Christianity and about preaching, it's not far away, my friends. But what if God calls you around the world to somewhere where Christianity is not welcomed? Sudan, go to Egypt, Middle East. You go over there, if you're called to be a missionary there, you're going to suffer some persecution because they don't want Christianity there. They don't want God there. They don't want His word there, but there are still people that need to hear. Do we only have faith in God when we're not expected to give anything? We need to be prepared, for persecution can come at any time and at any place. You'll think it'll never happen in America. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen next week. It could happen next year. Things change like that. We don't know what's going to happen, what God will allow. But no matter what, in our service, we need to be praising God that we're able to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No matter how great a responsibility or how little, we can praise God. I mean, we should be excited that we get to go out and tell people about Jesus and serve Him in that way. And praise Him that we're able to do that. Praise Him that we're saved. Praise Him that we know the way of salvation. But what happens is we let the newness and we let the awe of our salvation fade. We don't keep it in remembrance. Guess what? That's why we had the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. We need to keep before our eyes always how amazing it is that we're saved. I'll say that again. We need to keep before our eyes and our minds how amazing it is that we are saved. It is not a small thing. It is a miracle of God and a miracle of the grace of God and the mercy of God that we are on our way to heaven tonight, and we need to praise God for it. Every day, every moment of the day, every time you think of it, say, "Lord, I praise You that I am saved." And by the way, well, I'm kind of a quiet person. Guess what? The more it comes out your mouth, the more you're going to be willing to tell other people about it. Amen. If you're going to come out, if it's going to come out your mouth in praise and prayer to Him, you know, sometimes we pray. You know, I'm one of those people that, you know, when I pray, you know, some people can bow down and pray quietly in their heart and not say anything. You know what I like to do? I walk around and I talk. It's hard for me to focus my mind that way, but you know, how many of you ever see me on the phone? I walk everywhere because I don't know. It drives my wife nuts because I'm on the phone. I walk from one room. I have like a little track. I go through the house and I walk over and I walk around the bed and I come around. And I do the same over and over again. Drives her crazy because that's how I think. I have to walk and think and talk. And so When I pray and I go out and I walk around, and maybe I'll go outside, I'll walk around the room or something like that, or I'll stand and I talk out loud, because that's how, I'm not saying you have to do that, but that's how it works for me, that it becomes a personal thing. You know, thinking in my brain, that's not personal, but when it comes out your mouth, there's something different about that. The Bible says praise of our lips, not the praise of our mind. Not the praise of Silas, but the praise of our lips coming out of our mouth. Guess what? We need to have, if we start practicing some praise coming out of our mouth, then some praise towards God and leading someone to Christ will start coming out of our mouth too. We're too silent as Christians today. We're too silent. And if we have this coming out of our mouth, it gets you in good practice. You know what? That this week I gave the gospel every single day this week, and it was amazing, and that children were led to the Lord. Guess what? I was excited to go out yesterday. We were looking for opportunities to witness. We didn't get any, but I was looking for some. I was raring to go. Why? I had practiced it out of my mouth all week long. I was excited, getting ready to go. Hey, let's go and do some witnessing. So if you have that coming out of your mouth constantly, you're going to be more comfortable in your witness, more comfortable in praising. And you know what? People, you think, you know, this is what the culture wants you to think. Oh, we can't praise God. We're going to offend somebody. Who cares? You need to praise. It's a command. Doesn't matter who you offend. And you'd be surprised how many people are like, what'd you say? What'd you say? You're a Christian too? Right? Because we think we're like, have to be like a secret society. We don't live in Nazi Germany. We can be open about it. Amen? We don't have to go skulk around and hide and, hey, are they a Christian? Maybe not. They seem to dress okay. They might be a Christian. Go up and ask them. Hey, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? No, I don't. Well, here, this is how you can know. Amen? We need to do, we need to stop being so afraid. We have no reason to be. If we love God, perfect love casteth out what? Fear. How do we show our love for God? Well, how do we get to that place where our love for God is so alive? Through praising Him. Giving Him the credit for all that is going on in your life. For your salvation. For what God has enabled you to do. What you're doing in the house of God, what you do outside the house of God, be thankful and praise that you're able to do it. I said, Pastor, you don't understand my job. You don't know what I have to do. You know, if you knew what I had to do, you wouldn't be thankful either. Right? You know, some of us don't have jobs that are very fun. You know, I'll never forget, I worked at a camp one summer. And how many have ever worked in a commercial kitchen? Now, how many have ever worked in a commercial kitchen in the dishwashing area? Uh-huh. And so you know that there is this lovely little thing called a grease trap that every so often has to be cleaned out. And guess who gets picked to do that? The person who has worked there the least amount of time. And I'll tell you what, there is nothing so nasty. I don't know, I think I'd rather work on a septic tank. I don't know. But a grease trap is just so nasty. I mean, it's indescribable. I mean, I'm just getting nauseated thinking about it. But you get, and they have, you know, they have like these little wing nuts on there. You kind of do it, and then it goes, and you know, and you open it up, and it's just like all this glop in there. You got to get it pale, and you got to get it all out of there and throw it away and dispose of it properly by health codes and all of that. Guess what? If you're doing it for the Lord, you can praise God that you're able to do it. And if you're, you can praise God that you're doing that, you can praise God in anything. Amen. You know, sometimes we have clogged toilets around here. You know, some of these children get very creative in how they get plugged. And you know what? You're dealing with that and have they, oh man, you know what? Can you praise God that you're able to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and unplugging a toilet? You're able to praise God in that. You're able to praise Him in anything. Sometimes a ministering can be hard. We get hurt. We praise God in spite of that. That you're able to serve. You know, this is how I look at it. You know, we had some adversity this week. You know what that tells me? You know, I get excited every time that happens. I say, Pastor, you make no sense. You know what? It means we're doing something right. Like with Job. Guess what? He had some adversity. He was doing something right. If the devil's not attacking you, there's something wrong with you. Either one, you're not saved. Number two, you're not serving God. Because if you're serving God, you're going to get attacked. And you're going to get some adversity. And there's going to be some problems. Hey, we can praise God for that. Guess what? We're doing something right. But that thinking is upside down and backwards to our world that we live in. Guess what? We don't have to think like the world. We need to think like God wants us to think. We're to think like Christ. We're to think biblically. Guess what? That's upside down and backwards to this world. What's the problem today is we have too many Christians that think like the world instead of like God. So what are we going to praise? Are we going to praise? Are we going to be thankful? Are we going to be silent? Or are we going to let praise come out of our mouth towards God? What decision will you make? Make a decision ahead of time, by the way, that you're going to praise in the midst of trial. Oh, it's easy to praise when things are going good. But we need to make a decision tonight when things are not going the way we think they ought to go. When things are hard, make a decision tonight. Lord, I'm going to praise. And that's a decision we make. Even though we don't feel like praising, we need to do it anyway. And it's a funny thing about praising. When you start doing it, then you start feeling like it. Amen. You know, sometimes we get to church and we don't feel like singing the hymns. We don't feel like praising. And we're there and, I want that mountain. I really don't want that mountain. I want that mountain. You know, we're thinking that. We all do it. Okay, let's sit here like, Pastor, I have no idea what you're talking about. We've all been there where we're just like, we're singing a hymn. Oh, man, I don't want to be singing this right now. But the more you sing it and you make a decision, hey, I'm going to praise God anyway. Then you start getting into it. Amen. You started getting your heart into it and praising and thanking the Lord. That's how we begin. You know, you wake up in the morning and you feel terrible. I don't feel like praising God today. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. And that's, first thing, life is not for our enjoyment. Number two, we've got to do things even though we don't feel like it. If we live by our emotions, you'll do nothing for God. You'll be a miserable person. Be miserable, never do anything for God, and you'll be overcome with sin if you live by your emotions. Got to live by what's right according to the Word of God. And when you bring your emotions and all your thinking all into the subjection of the Scriptures, then God can do an amazing work in your life. So tonight, what decision will you make? Will you praise Him no matter what? You know, we sing that song, I will praise Him, I will praise Him. Amen? Are we willing to do that this week? Every day, every moment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your Word. I pray that we would continually give the sacrifice of praise with the fruit of our lips, that we glorify You, Lord, that we would communicate and forget not. Lord, that phrase, forget not, struck me tonight, dear Lord, and struck me in preparing for this. Forget not. Lord, I pray that we not forget. Forgive us when we do. I pray tonight that we would make a commitment that we're not going to forget what You do for us. Pray that You bless us and help us. I pray that You would bless this time for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.